Long Wrestling Podcast. With the Enforcer.
I believe they're called Enforcers, Gordon.
I sell women's shoes.
And the Stallion.
Stallion, baby!
I am not what you would call a handsome man.
I'll kick you in the nuts and you'll smile at me and like it.
Oh, nice!
Hey, welcome back to yet another edition of the All Night Long Wrestling Podcast. We are your host. He's a Stallion. I am the Enforcer. And we skipped last week. If people were listening,
I was going to hope people didn't realize.
No, I want people to know that it wasn't our fault as much as it was.
I think it pretty much was our fault.
Yeah, that falls on our shoulders. Yeah. It's you know what? It's just a busy lifestyle. And the enormous amount of money that we make from this podcast, I sometimes get so caught up in spending the gold coins like Scrooge McDuck.
Yeah.
That I get sidetracked. I'm buying boats, Joe. I'm buying yachts. I'm buying GoPros. I'm buying yachts.
Yeah. Those are important. The yachts. Yeah. I was say that's where I was last week. I was at the banks. I met with Charles Schwab because he wanted to talk about my savings, and the money that we've earned from the podcast. So it was a pretty busy week financially for the All Night Long.
Coincidentally, I actually had the bank calling me and telling me my homeowner's insurance was canceled. So we both got in touch with the bank last
week. That's not really important, I feel like.
No, actually, it wasn't even my fault. It was theirs, but you tell me after you cancel the policy, it's
They canceled it first and then
– They canceled it first and then called me to tell me it was canceled because they built it with their own person.
That's right. That's, I apologize.
It's a good thing I didn't flood. Everything's fine. Well, yet another edition of the All Night Long Wrestling Podcast, as we said. This week we're going to be talking about this weekend's WWE Payback. I would say it's a Raw pay-per-view. Some might say it's a SmackDown pay-per-view. Some might say they don't know what pay-per-view it is, to be honest with you.
It's ambiguous is what it is.
What does ambiguous mean?
You know, not well-defined.
Okay.
You know, like you said, it's supposed to be a Raw-branded pay-per-view, but there are SmackDown brand wrestlers on the show because of the superstar shakeup that took place a couple weeks ago. So you've got guys like Randy Orton and now Kevin Owens wrestling on a Raw pay-per-view when they are SmackDown branded wrestlers. So
yeah. I think what's important is since Randy Orton and Bray Wyatt is not for the title, I think it's important that you have the Universal title on there. I think they did a really good job of that.
What title is that? I don't even know what that is.
The Universal title? I think I remember seeing it. Is that the one Finn Balor's wrestling for? No, actually, Finn Balor's talking.
On the pre-show, yeah.
Yeah, he's got a segment on the pre-show against The Miz. That's awesome. Every time I feel the WWE makes a bad decision, Eli Drake is going to remind me.
Well, that's what Eli Drake is here to do.
Yeah.
Remind us how dumb we are. I don't know. I'll be honest with you. I completely forgot
about the pay-per-view.
As I was driving home from work today, I remembered that there was a pay-per-view on Sunday night. So that goes to show, I guess, how much hype and anticipation is behind it. So that we, this is fun. I don't know if there's a whole lot of interest in this show from internet standpoint.
There's nothing. I mean, Samoa Joe and Seth Rollins should be a good match.
Yes.
Enzo and Big Cass versus Gallows and Anderson again on for nothing. It's like
that's on the pre-show.
A pre-show match. Yeah. I honestly couldn't tell you what else is on the show. We're not gonna give our Payback predictions yet.
Right.
But I'll seriously have to like look at the card and study it for a couple seconds.
Yeah, no, that's fair. I think the title matches, I think I know. I think the main event, I believe, is going to end up being Braun Strowman against the Roman Reigns from, I don't know if he's wrestling on the gurney or from a hospital. I don't know what he's doing, but he's supposed to be there. So that's, I guess, the biggest non-title match on the card. And the rest of them, I think, are, you know, title matches, the women's title, the tag titles. The IC title is not being defended, I don't think, because Dean Ambrose doesn't have a match, from my understanding.
So the IC title is not being defended. The Universal title is not being defended.
Right, but the US title is being defended, which is now on SmackDown.
Well, the winner goes to SmackDown.
Yes.
So,
or, yeah, Jericho, right, goes if he wins.
So let me get this straight. The winner of the only singles match, singles title match on Raw, the winner gets to go to a different show.
Yeah, I think so. I think
if it was Lord of the Flies, I would book it the same way. Like, you have to win in order to get off that show.
I think so. I think Owens, I think the deal is Owens was drafted to SmackDown and the, or not drafted, excuse me, was moved to SmackDown and whatever happened with, and the US title came with him. But if Jericho wins the US title, he goes to SmackDown also. And I think Owens would stay there. If Owens beats Jericho, then Jericho stays on Raw, even though he's going to be leaving soon anyway, I think, to go on tour with his band. Sorry.
No, sir. I thought, see, maybe that's where I'm confused, because I thought the winner goes to SmackDown and the title got drafted. That's the way I think that idiot JBL described it.
So Owens would go back to Raw then?
Yeah, in that case? Okay. That's what I heard.
That might be, I don't know.
You know what? And actually, it might be wrong, because JBL just might be loopy from getting knocked out by both Bart Gunn and Joey Styles. Speaking of, before we get to the predictions, I watched a clip of an interview with Vince Russo when he was talking about how he came up with the Brawl for All idea. Did you ever see that?
I don't know if I have. I mean, I've heard him talk about it or maybe read interviews with him on it, but what did the...
He was sitting in the back of a bus, and JBL was drunk in the middle of the bus, saying about how he could beat all these guys in a bar fight. Russo, not liking JBL, admittedly, you know, in the back of his mind goes, he would love to see that. The next day, pitches the idea to Vince McMahon. A couple months later, there's Brawl for All. If you get a chance, I urge you all to watch Bart Gunn versus JBL. I could not – you can't mimic the lack of technique that Justin Hawk, John Bradshaw Layfield showed in that fight. My favorite part was when he did the dreaded double punch, made famous by a certain Steven Seagal in Marked for Death. It was the most pathetic attempt at a boxing match I've ever seen in my life. And Bart Gunn, also incredibly terrible fighter. Incredibly terrible fighter. Big guy, strong guy, and he threw haymaker pancakes. But none of those guys could throw a legitimate punch, which is hilarious, because now if you did a Brawl for All now, you know, most of the – not most. I would say a third of the guys that train that are in the WWE right now have some sort of training in, whether it be mixed martial arts, Brazilian jiu-jitsu, wrestling, or boxing. It would be a completely different world. I would love to see it. But seeing those guys just – winging punches was one. It was absolutely hilarious, and it was a joy watching JBL get knocked out. He actually got dropped twice. He had a right hand just above the temple that put him down, and then he got up, and the ref's like, "Do you want to go? Do you want to go?" And he didn't say anything, so the ref let him go, and then he had another right hand that literally put him face down. And I've never been happier.
Good.
I wish I could have seen a GIF of what it looked like when Joey Styles knocked out Bradshaw. Can't stand that guy.
Yeah.
I'm on Team Moro, by the way, in case you're not picking that up.
Which, that's very unfortunate, by the way, I think, with that whole situation, how it played out, and now he's basically, Moro's no longer with the company, or I don't know if they're just letting his contract run out, but he's officially, like, gone, right?
I think it's July 20th he's with the company until, yeah.
So that kind of sucks, because he was SmackDown announcer for, like, less than a year, or maybe a little over a year, I guess.
And Moro, did you like his commentary style?
I liked him, and especially, I liked his style, and I think it gave it a different...
almost a shoot feel.
Yeah, it was just a different sound or a different, you know, voice for, you know, compared to the like all the other announcers they have. I don't want to say that they're all the same, but a lot of them just seem to announce the same way. Like, they all come up through the WWE system or whatever. Like, so the Tom Phillips, the Rich Brennan, the people of that.
Byron Saxton. Byron Saxton. You could just they're all one person to me. You could just interchange your announce style. So, you know, and I believe we have a guest on the show. I'd like to welcome to the show Limitless Keith Lee. Keith, you there?
Yes, sir. This would be me. How do you do, gentlemen?
Very well, sir. Thank you very much for joining us here on the All Night Long Wrestling Podcast. How you doing, man? You feeling better? I know you were a little banged up over the weekend.
Oh, I'm good, man. You know, all the wrestling woes, the expected things, little injuries here and there. And then, you know, anytime anybody has Kyle O'Reilly kicking them in the leg several times, of course they're going to be a little banged up, but I'm good.
I could speak to that. I was at the show, of course. I saw you over the weekend, and I guess we'll just hop right to Evolve 82. You versus Kyle O'Reilly. You were the official welcoming committee for Kyle O'Reilly back to Evolve. Tell me what that was like, because for a fan standpoint, man, that match stole the show, and on a card like that, stealing the show is really hard to do.
It was a very intense match. I don't think either of us were really concerned with stealing shows per se, but, you know, that was all about competition, really. And I think it was a good one, to say the very least.
Yeah, and from all of, you know, all the fans there, I could definitely say they enjoyed it. Before we get to anything, I want to let everybody know that I am wearing my Keith Ziller shirt, which I got from bottomlinemerch.com/Keith Lee. And I don't know if it's meant to, but it really accentuates the traps. I don't know if that was in the design, Keith, but I do appreciate it.
Well, I'm glad you enjoyed it, man. It's the very first design that I ever got done. And well, not ever got done, but the very first what I consider cool design. And it was actually made by a fan who's really, really gifted with graphics. His name is actually Matt Anderegg. I try and plug him from time to time because he's really good at what he does. And that was just a favor to me as a fan. So it's something I appreciate eternally.
Yeah. Definitely. It's a cool looking shirt. It definitely stands out amongst the other professional wrestling shirts out there. Now, I, for one, got a chance to watch your Evolve mini documentary that they have up on YouTube, and I thought that was a very interesting piece. Now, for those who haven't gotten a chance to watch that, can you just tell us a little bit about how you got your start, you know, in wrestling and growing up? I know it was different than a lot of other people did.
Yeah, man, it's basically just a family love, I guess you could say. My grandmother's love for professional wrestling. Seemingly, I guess you could say, took me over or made its way into me, burrowed its way into my soul. And when I was a freshman in college, I made a decision and stuck with my guns and left football behind and took on football, and it's been a very interesting journey ever since then.
So growing up, did you have any wrestlers that you like were your favorites or that you would consider, you know, that were influences on you and your style today?
No. Growing up, I was never influenced by any wrestler. My only influence was my grandmother. I did not gain any type of influence until I was probably a few years into wrestling, and then I started watching other things and learning from watching other people. But once I got into wrestling, I'd say some of those influences would be like low-key Kurt Angle, early days Brock Lesnar, like when he first came around, and then like your expected greats like Kenta Kobashi and Muda, things like that.
Now, you are one of the busiest guys in the business right now. I've seen articles on Keith Lee on Forbes, on ESPN, and what they're saying is you're kind of redefining the quote-unquote big man. But what people I don't think realize is, regardless of your size, it's impressive what you do at your size, but those moves are difficult for anybody to do, let somebody, you know, your size do them. Do you feel like the wave of, I guess, big men of this generation is a little bit different than it was in years past?
I don't know. I don't really feel like it is. I just think that some people are willing to step out on a limb and do the things that they enjoy. And for me, I've always been able to do the things that I do. I just never did because it was kind of against the rules or looked down upon. For me to have taken that step took a certain encouragement from proper people to want to be myself and not care about other people and what they think about the style of wrestling that I do. So for me, it's just about being myself, man. And for other guys, I think some guys are challenging themselves maybe to be the athlete that today's wrestling enjoys. And that's definitely the type of wrestling I enjoy. So I like to mix and match. I like a nice slow pace, but I also like to explode when necessary. This kind of depends on matches and situations, opponent types, things of that sort.
I think you have the ability, like you said, to have a type of match with everybody. I mean, from your matches with Ricochet, which were, I mean, you were going hold for hold with Ricochet, move for move, and then a power match like you do with a Brian Cage or a Jeff Cobb. Did you find it difficult to kind of alter your style to your opponent, or was that something being such a gifted athlete that just kind of came natural to you?
I think natural is a lot of what I do, man. Especially nowadays, now that I've settled into being comfortable with just being who I am, you know, it's just I'm comfortable in this. I'm happy with this. And, you know, a lot of people are enjoying it, man. Fans, even wrestlers, strangers who have never, ever watched wrestling that have seen me have completely changed their ways and devoted themselves to wrestling, if you will. It's just cool to see the effects of what I love, what it does for other people. So I'm definitely enjoying that, and it being a natural thing for me, it feels good because it's just who I am. So it's what I'm doing.
I think to be able to catch somebody who's never watched wrestling before and to engulf them into professional wrestling with your matches is something that's amazing. If you had a wrestling fan and let's say they didn't know who Keith Lee was, do you have a particular match you would show them that you feel, you know, would show them who you really are and what you're really capable of?
When people ask me about matches and different styles and such, I think that if I'm just looking to blow their minds, I generally direct them to myself versus Brian Cage because it's kind of like a freaking video game match where I just feel like maybe we're just one-upping each other, challenging each other's cardio because we're just constantly throwing each other around and it's just this nuts match. It was craziness. Outside of that, some people like chess games or big type of, I guess, trading blows, throwing lumber type matches. I'll direct them to myself versus Chris Hero. If I want to just wow people, then I might direct them to myself versus JT Dunn from Pro Wrestling Magic. And then some people just are looking for a different flavor. They want to see me versus a small guy. Then I might direct them to myself versus Johnny Silver. And though that one, the cage match, and Chris Hero are all from Beyond Wrestling, and they just were gracious enough to release for free. So a lot of people have been enjoying those matches lately.
Yeah, I'll definitely make sure to share those on Facebook. Actually, I think it was Donovan Dijak that said when he was commentating a match with Brian Cage that it looks like a video game. And you couldn't be, you know, more right because you guys, what you guys were able to do in that match was unbelievable. Now, those were your singles matches. I know you started your career pretty much as a singles wrestler until you teamed up with Shane at the as the Pretty Boy Killers. So, yes, was it difficult for you to go from a singles wrestler to a tag team wrestler? I know in Ring of Honor you had great matches with War Machine and the Briscoes. Was that something that was easy for you to do?
I want to say yes, but it's also no. I mean, for us, it was a lot easier than most because you got two huge, just enormous guys. You got Shane, who at the time was probably 365, 370. He's lost a lot of weight lately. And then you have me, who hovers around 320, 330 regularly, maybe gets down into the 315 level. So, obviously, we can run through anybody on our own right. So, it makes things easier. But in terms of the more challenging matches, it definitely took some learning and whatnot. And I think that we accelerated at a very fast pace when it comes to that, because I don't recall Shane really being a tag wrestler either. It's just an appointment that we or a opportunity that we took the competition on, and we learned very quickly. We learned on the job, and a lot of that can be faked through Ring of Honor's locker room. And I always try to give a big thanks to Christopher Daniels, because he taught us specifically a lot, and we applied everything that we learned from him, and we had great success together. And a lot of fun, of course.
It definitely seemed like it in the series of matches you guys had with War Machine. Now, you guys had, you know, blasted onto the scene at Ring of Honor very fast. You were thrown into a lot of really good tag team matches. And then after that, you decided to go the singles route and go to Evolve. Was that a hard decision for you to make? Or was that something you just felt like was best for your career and that was the right thing to do at the time?
It was very difficult because so I think Ring of Honor made the offer at the very end of 2016, and then not long after that, maybe a week. I don't even know if it was a week. Then Evolve made an offer, and I took probably I don't know. Since I had already known about both, probably took around 3 weeks of just thinking and chatting and talking and brainstorming and talking to mentors and whatnot, and just juggling things around, weighing pros and cons, and considering Shane and the whole ordeal, of course. And in the end, after talking to mentors and friends and family and whatnot, it just felt like Evolve's interest was way more fitting in my interest. And they were looking to give me a chance to showcase Keith Lee, and that's all I wanted, was a chance to deliver and to be something that can build a company. And I think that I'm doing that. I think that I already felt like I could do that, but I think that I'm also now doing so, becoming that commodity, becoming that important key piece on the chessboard. So, you know, in the end, I feel more now than ever that I definitely made the right decision.
I mean, people have been calling you the MVP of WrestleMania weekend, so I would echo your sentiments with making the right decision. Evolve is doing a great job in bringing in a lot of talent right now. Obviously, you know, Drew Galloway had just left, so they bring in a Kyle O'Reilly, and they keep bringing in, you know, these big name guys. And you know, you're in the main event picture. You have Ego in the main event picture. Is there anybody that you haven't gotten a chance to work with yet that you would like to?
Well, I would say Matt Sydal, but I mean, I'm wrestling him on Saturday for VIP wrestling. So, that's going to be like a pseudo dream match right there. There's still, I mean, yeah, there's still plenty of people that I haven't wrestled that I'd love to. And I also like wrestling new people to begin with. So those are nice challenges and good tests that people you don't know, maybe you haven't seen a lot of footage on, things of that sort. I think some of the most major challenges that I'm interested in are really over in Japan. And then, of course, there's a ton of talent in WWE. There's plenty of guys. I mean, I wrestle most of the guys I really wanted to wrestle in Lucha Underground. And then I'm even, the possibility, I mean, we're still a ways off. But there's a place called Canuck Pro in Canada that seems to be booking some powerhouse shows in November and December. So I'm looking forward to those because I believe my very first match with them is supposed to be against Rey Fénix. So there's different opportunities and even some matches you just don't think of until they're put together. And it's like, oh, yeah, I really want that. One of my favorite things that will be coming up in July is myself versus Daisuke Sekimoto for XWA in the United Kingdom. And that, I know a lot of fans really really want to see, so I'm super looking forward to giving something special for that.
That's awesome that you're expanding, you know, the UK and the international talent. For my own selfish reasons, I would love to see Keith Lee versus Tomohiro Ishii. That's a dream match of mine that I've been thinking about.
I've heard a lot of people say that, and Ishii's extremely talented, so I think it'd be a very interesting match, and absolutely, I think it'd deliver on a lot of different levels. So, if that opportunity ever came up, I would be more than happy to step into a ring with him. One of my personal wants, like the most major thing on the bucket list, would probably be to wrestle Okada in a preferably more main event profile match or a very serious level match. Because I think that it would be something like super duper special, absolutely, for any and everybody to enjoy. Fans, new fans, non-fans, I think if anybody saw it, it'd be a very special spectacle to see, if you will.
Absolutely. Now, in talking about New Japan, is that one of your long-term goals? Do you see yourself working in Japan?
I wouldn't really just call it a long-term goal because everybody's view on long-term is different. Like that's an extremely subjective term. So I will just say that New Japan, I mean, maybe not just New Japan, but Japan in general is a goal for me. Just to compete there and meet some new fans and get some different opportunities and whatnot. It's not a super pressing matter or anything like that. If an opportunity came, I'd take a look at it just like any other and decide if it's the right thing to do, if it made sense, if it was a smart move. And then if it was, then I'd be there right away. So, I'd like to go there mainly because I love Japan. I love Japan before I love Japan wrestling, right? So, just going to Japan is a really cool idea for me.
I think it gets a lot of the fans thinking, and that would be, just something great to see. I know you said you have Rey Fénix coming up. What other matches do you have coming up already that you're on the horizon that you're looking forward to?
There's so many, man. Like I said, this Saturday I've got Matt Sydal at VIP Wrestling. I think that's probably going to blow a few minds unexpectedly because people are probably going to look at the size difference and not really think anything. But I'm certain that the man that he is will be able to surprise a lot of people, and I think the match itself will blow a lot of minds. And Sunday I'll go back to Beyond Wrestling for the first time in a while, not counting Mania weekend. And I'll go one-on-one with Michael Elgin, and everybody loves big guys that throw people around, and we both throw people around, so that makes that match pretty easy. to enjoy. Let's see, outside of that, I think next weekend's going to be great. I'm making some new debuts. I'll be headed to Pro Wrestling Revolver, and for the first time ever, it will be me versus Moose. I know that a lot of people have been wanting that match, even as far back as Ring of Honor, like when I was there. So by now, I know a lot of people are kind of salivating for it. So that should be a great fun. And then I'll debut at AAW on 5/6. I have no idea who I'm facing, though. So I'm just looking forward to joining that company. And I hear great things about it. So looking forward to being a part of that. And then, of course, later in the month, it's back to PWG on 5/19. To face Trevor Lee, which should be an extremely good match. And then back to Evolve. So, you know, it's going to be a nice, busy few weeks and keeping it fun. I think I'm going to take off the 5/12 through the 14th weekend, maybe go visit my mother or something, just to get a chance to relax a little bit, decompress, if you will.
Well, I mean, listen, with your schedule, I think saying you deserve a break is an understatement. And before we let you go, I got to ask you, last Friday night, you were in Reseda, California against Jeff Cobb. And then not 24 hours later, you're in the middle of Queens, New York, wrestling Kyle O'Reilly. How difficult is that to do with a three-hour flight? You know, you're killing each other on Friday night. You fly overnight, you get in, and then you do it all again. How is that something – because you've been an athlete your entire life that you kind of acclimated to, or how? That's the part I think the fans, they don't really see. And how difficult was that for you?
Well, let's not forget the fact that I also had a match earlier in the day before Kyle O'Reilly. I also performed on Tier 1 show. I believe it was The One Who Knocks, and I faced Chris Dickinson there. So I actually had two matches that Saturday. And it's definitely not easy. I think, that was my second time doing it. I was a little more prepared. The very first time that I did it, I went from PWG, back over to Connecticut, and I had a match against Warbeard Hansen for Northeast Wrestling. And oh man, the way that it beat my body up and I had not a lot of energy was rough for me, man. I wasn't really prepared for that because I had never done it before. So I was a little more prepared that time. I made sure to try and find food and keep myself well hydrated because for whatever reason, that going from the West Coast to the East really does take a toll on you. I always downplayed people that complained about traveling until I started doing it a lot more. Then I realized traveling itself beats your body up. So I've gained a whole new level of respect for that. And I'm a little more prepared for it these days. So I deal with it a lot better than I did that first time. But I think that having such a passion and love for this kind of helps you get acclimated to this faster than most people would. So it was just a matter of pushing through. I think it was more of a mental thing, especially when it came to the O'Reilly match, because holy crap, that was a really intense match, man. Really intense.
Dude, I hate flying to Pittsburgh from New York. I can't imagine flying cross country and then getting beat up like that. So listen, Keith, I can't tell you how much we appreciate your time on here. I appreciate you coming on and talking to us. And like we said before, BottomLineMerch.com/Keith Lee. Pick up the shirts. They are awesome. And where can people follow you? Where can people find out what you got going on?
Oh, man, the best places are Twitter and Instagram. More so Twitter, but, I mean, you know, Instagram's fun. I probably post more pictures on Instagram than I would on Facebook or Twitter. So, and it's nice and easy. Both are the same. The handles are Real Keith Lee all together. Keith is spelled K-E-I-T-H. Do not do I before E except after C because I don't follow grammar rules. So deal with it. But yeah, those two, those Instagram and Twitter are the best places. And I'm definitely more active on Twitter than anything else.
Awesome. Well, you guys heard it. Thank you very much for your time, Keith. We look forward to seeing what we got going on for you and look forward to seeing you when Evolve returns to New York this summer.
Sounds good, man. Thanks for having me, dudes. It's a great time.
And guys, that was the Limitless One, Keith Lee, Evolve superstar, former Ring of Honor superstar, and a guy that you're going to be hearing a lot about in the next coming months. The guy, Keith Lee, is everywhere, and it was a joy having him on. Really appreciate his time. And, you know, he was on Deadspin. He was on ESPN. He was on Forbes. I feel like the next logical step is the All Night Long Wrestling Podcast.
Stands to reason, my friend. That's how it goes. But, yeah, no, that was really great of him to join us for a little bit today. I mean, he is really – I mean, for us, I mean, I know there's people out there that – some people follow just WWE and some people do follow independent wrestling a little more. We try to do a little, both as closely as possible. And as far as independent wrestling goes, I think he's one of, if not the most talked about guy out there right now, with what he's making, you know, making a name for himself. And, you know, he's got into Ring of Honor. He got some more, you know, eyes on him there, and now making a switch to Evolve into a singles competitor. We're continuing his career as a singles competitor prior to his tag team with Shane Taylor. And like you said, I mean, he's got interviews. He's talking with ESPN. He's talking with Forbes. I mean, so he's got a lot going for him right now. So I really appreciate him coming on the show here and spending a little time with us after working all those matches this past weekend, apparently, and flying across country and doing all that craziness. So
yeah, and I was there watching him take those kicks for Kyle O'Reilly. And Kyle, you know, to his credit, man, that match was hard hitting. That match was brutal back and forth. They were throwing each other around, twisting each other into a pretzel, and it was fantastic. So I'm super excited to have him on. I'm super excited to see what the future holds for Keith Lee, the Limitless One.
There he is. So, I mean, what happens now? Do we talk about Jinder Mahal for the last 20 minutes?
It's a natural segue.
What's the protocol?
Yeah, that's a natural segue. Keith Lee to Jinder Mahal.
Actually, Jinder Mahal is not scheduled on this pay-per-view. So, well, I guess if you wanted, we can jump into our payback predictions and preview this weekend if you want to close out our show for this week with that.
We could do that. But first, I think it's important to remind everybody who brought us here. And that is the Damage 365 Radio Network.
Everybody, this is Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man, and you are listening to Damage 365 Radio. And remember, everybody's got a price for the Million Dollar Man.
And we are back. We are looking at the WWE Payback card, and we are ready to give our thoughts and reviews.
I'm excited. So there's 8 matches on the card right now. One of them is a pre-show match, as we kind of joked about a little earlier.
I said reviews. Sorry, just like 4 seconds later, I realized I said our thoughts and reviews instead of previews.
Okay.
I suck.
We might be able to, we might predict the future. Maybe we're telling people what's going to happen.
I'm going to predict the future. Predicting. I'll predict it. This card's not going to be very good.
Yeah. So we kind of joked about it a little earlier, but the pre-show is going to consist of a Miz TV segment with Finn Balor. So Finn Balor does not have a match on the show. And a tag team match with Enzo and Cass against Gallows and Anderson once more. It's the feud that's igniting fans, and people are talking everywhere about this series of Matt Nock. I can't even.
Yeah, I put this right under Keith Lee and Chris Hero series. It's like 1A and 1B. There's no reason for the Enzo and Big Cass versus Gallows and Anderson. And if anything but Gallows and Anderson winning in dominating fashion happens, I'm going to jump out your window.
They did win a tag match against Enzo and Cass on Raw, I think 2 weeks ago. And then last week, there was a 6-man tag.
Oh, I got a bone to pick with you, buddy.
With me.
I got a bone. I meant to talk about this. Can we steer? You know, I want to talk about this real quick before we get into our predictions.
Okay.
Let's talk about, do you you play the WWE video games at all?
I got the one from last year, yes.
Okay. you know when you store up 2 finishers and then you have the ability to steal your opponent's finisher?
Yes.
Do you think Seth Rollins did that when he played against Kenny Omega and stole his finisher? Ha-boom. Ha-boom. That, my friends, was a good one.
Is that Kenny Omega's finishing move, that move?
He's used it as a finisher, yeah. What do you – odd choice for Seth Rollins. Would you agree?
I don't know. I don't know what where he goes. I think – so I picked up watching Ring of Honor after he had already left. So I haven't seen a lot of Tyler Black matches in ROH. I think his finisher there was the Blackout.
Right, that was like a springboard knee.
A springboard knee.
Yeah.
So I guess if this is his new finisher, which is kind of like the, you know, whatever you want to call it. The
what does he call it? Does he have a name for it?
I don't know if he has a name for it yet. It's like the...
Should he call it the Alpha and Omega type?
The pole, like, I don't know, whatever, like the way the Rainmaker works, only he, you know, he spins the guy into a jumping knee. So maybe like knee strikes are his thing. I don't know. So I don't know if it surprises me that he went with it or not. I haven't seen him use it previously. Maybe he did in the past. I don't really know. But no, I mean, I think he, for him to, I think the whole idea of him using the pedigree for a while was because of the whole connection with Triple H. And now that that's pretty much over with, at least for the time being, he definitely needed a new finisher. Curb Stomp has been banned. And that jumping springboard knee strike, I don't know if that's really visually a good finisher. I mean, he's used it in matches before and not really gotten a lot of false finishes out of it. So
Phoenix Splash, that was a finisher. We knew that.
Phoenix Splash, yeah. I've seen him do too. He kind of busts that out on special occasions. So yeah, no, I don't know. You know, I guess surprised. I didn't really know what he would come up with. I was hoping he would come up with something new. So I'm just glad that he does have something that's not the pedigree anymore.
Yeah, me too. Right? The pedigree was terrible. Did you see what Kenny Omega tweeted?
Yeah, I don't know.
Something. You just said at least he still has his entrance music.
Yeah. I mean, did Kenny Omega invent that move? I don't think that he did, so.
I don't know if he might. I know he actually did invent the Angel's Wings. Not the Angel's Wings, the one-winged angel. Sorry, Angel's Wings was Daniels.
Yeah.
So, it's just, you know, move-stealing, career-ending Seth Rollins. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I do like it better than the – I really do like it better than the pedigree, because I know the pedigree. I think it's terrible and it's played out, but you know, Seth Rollins is such an athletic guy. I mean, there's better options for him, and this finisher is definitely better than the pedigree.
Yeah,
so let's just go with that.
Okay, he moved on.
Yeah, speaking of moving on, let's move on from Enzo and Big Cass to Gallows and Anderson. Who you got winning this?
I'll take Gallows and Anderson. I mean, last week on Raw, they did the six man, that's what I think how we got into that, and
yeah,
divert into anything, but yeah, they had like a six man. They took Enzo out of the match with an injury and replaced him with Finn Balor.
What a surprise, Enzo!
So that's really weird. So I'm gonna guess that Luke Gallows and Anderson will win here. So then, yeah. On the main card, there's seven matches. Looks like five titles are on the line if I'm counting properly. So I guess let's start with the women's match. It's Bayley against Alexa Bliss for the Raw Women's Championship. I think that this is in Bayley's hometown, right? San Jose. I think that's the whole
right. So she's going to lose. Yeah.
And Bliss won, I think, a four-way match or something on Raw to win the number one contender shot. So this is her. She just moved over to the Raw brand. She's got immediately a title shot against Bayley in San Jose. I'm going to say Bayley retains it, and the only reason I'm saying that is because I feel like the longer-term plan, assuming that they actually have one, is to have Bayley and Sasha Banks face each other down the line. I don't know if that's going to be closer to SummerSlam or what they're going to do with that, but I'm going to say that Bayley will find a way to keep it here in her hometown against Alexa Bliss.
Does Bayley win, or does Sasha accidentally cause Bayley to lose? That's what I'm really torn between. I'm going to say the title goes over to Alexa Bliss. And what's her name? Who's the one that almost killed Charlotte like five times?
Nia Jax.
Nia Jax. I think Nia Jax may act as Alexa Bliss's muscle for a little while. But I see Sasha inadvertently costing Bayley the title in her own town.
Okay. Let's go to that U.S. title match next. So we talked about it a little earlier. It's Kevin Owens, who's the U.S. champion, now on SmackDown, against Chris Jericho. For the U.S. title. I don't know what the deal is here, but at least the one thing I guess we do know is that if Jericho wins, he's definitely going to SmackDown. I don't know what happens to Owens after that. But anyway, U.S. title's on the line. I think Owens is going to retain it, I'll say. I assume that the whole goal of the Owens-Jericho angle was for Jericho to put over Owens in the end. I don't know if Jericho's officially going to be leaving for a little while again soon. I know he's got a tour coming up with his band Fozzy. But either way, I'm going to say Owens wins this match and retains the title.
There's no reason for this match. Zero reason whatsoever.
Captain Positivity has joined us.
Listen, you have Kevin Owens dismantle Jericho and beat him at the blow-off of WrestleMania, and then you put Owens in a feud on SmackDown with AJ Styles and Baron Corbin and all this stuff, and there's just very blurry lines here. I don't think you need this match. I think Owens should get a win, and I think it should be pretty convincingly dominating. Dominatingly convincing? How would I say that? Pretty
convincingly dominating.
Convincingly, that still sounds bad, right? I think it's just a poor choice on my part. Kevin Owens wins this match, and then Chris Jericho goes on tour with Fozzy. Fozz. Got the Fozz. Let's go.
Where do you want to go next?
Let's go Neville.
Neville versus Austin Aries for the Cruiserweight Championship.
I love both of these guys. I think Aries' time to win it is now. Everybody thought a lot of people thought he was going to win at WrestleMania, but if he doesn't win it here, when is he going to win it? I think it's time to get the belt off of Neville. Not because he's not doing a good job with it, but just because they could have they can continue this feud a little bit longer with Aries as champ.
Yeah, I think that's similar to my thoughts on it. I would think it'd be nice for Neville to keep it because he's having a nice run with it.
Very true.
But yeah, like Aries, it seems like it's his top contender, and I don't know that they have anybody else that could really. You know what I mean? Like beyond, I don't think anybody else is better than Aries right now to challenge him. So if you haven't beat Aries again, then I feel like he doesn't have any viable challengers right away.
Right. And you kind of bury Aries' big comeback too.
Yeah. So I'm gonna say that Aries will win as well and win the Cruiserweight Championship.
Okay. So they agree on that one. Let's go to
Samoa Joe versus Seth Rollins.
Yeah.
This is an interesting one, I think, because I don't know that either guy should be taking a loss here.
It's like you're in my brain, man.
It's interesting. Damn it. I guess the other interesting part of it is they were going to do this match in February at the Fastlane show, and then Rollins ended up hurting his knee and he couldn't wrestle. I don't know what they would have done in that match either because it was leading into Rollins' match against Triple H at WrestleMania, so I don't know how they would have booked that.
I hope Stephanie comes back.
No.
Kidding. No.
I don't know. I guess I don't know who they're going to – if I'm predicting, I don't know what they're going to do. If it was me, I think that you can have – it would be better for Rollins to absorb a loss here than for Joe in, like, his first significant pay-per-view match because he didn't wrestle at WrestleMania, and then the Fastlane match was postponed. Yes, he did fight Sami Zayn, which I know he did win that at Fastlane instead, but this is – a major feud for him, I think. A guy at Rollins was just in like one of the main events at WrestleMania. So I think that what makes the most sense is for Joe to win or at least not lose this match. And then these guys hopefully maybe wrestle again the next month and then maybe eventually Rollins beats him at the end. But I think it makes more sense for Joe to get the win early.
I agree with you completely. The Joe and Sami Zayn match, excuse me, it's my first day. The Joe and Sami Zayn match wasn't even really that good, which was surprising. It was because Sammy wasn't allowed to get a lot of offense in. I don't think he really should have because you were solidifying Joe as a badass. And I think as to all your points, you don't want him to take a loss right now and you're going to build him up as the next title contender. Well, maybe the next title contender. Who really knows what's going on with Brock Lesnar. But I think Samoa Joe's got to keep the win streak going here. So,
all right. So let's go to
– I don't even know where – oh, Hardy's?
Oh, sure, let's go to that. Yeah, the Hardys versus Cesaro and Sheamus.
The Hardy boys.
Excuse me.
Boys.
So I don't know what they're setting up with this match. They had two singles matches the last 2 weeks on Raw. I believe it was Jeff Hardy beat Cesaro, and then Matt Hardy beat Sheamus last week. And then after it, they kind of teased that maybe Cesaro and Sheamus would attack them or. Were angry, but they ended up just shaking hands afterwards. So it was a little tenuous. So I don't know if they're building to something here, like they'll turn or what have you. But I don't know. I don't know that I wouldn't take the championships off of the Hardys if they just won it at WrestleMania. They still have some decent momentum from when they came back, even though they're not doing the broken gimmick like we've talked about before. But I still wouldn't have them lose it this quickly. if ultimately you're going to turn Cesaro and Sheamus and then maybe something with that, I don't know that I would do it right away. But I don't know. I'm just going to say the Hardy Boys will retain the tag titles.
See, this is a tough spot because they, like you said, they both lost individual matches. So for both Cesaro and Sheamus to lose in consecutive weeks and then lose the tag team title match, you're neutering both of those guys. And I don't think you want to do that right now because you don't have any other face tag teams. And as far as turning them heel, I mean, they were just heel 3 months ago. This is, you know, this is a fresh kind of face gimmick and they're over. I think it works, you know, it works pretty well. Sheamus is kind of that teetering the line heel face and Cesaro is the big baby face. And I don't know. I think you have to put the tag team titles on them. I don't agree with taking them off the Hardys unless this will lead to Matt flipping out and breaking the both of them, which who knows what Anthem is doing with the lawsuit right now. But I'm going to say only because I don't see them taking consecutive singles losses and then losing, I'm going to say Cesaro and Sheamus win the title.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Actually, nothing makes sense in this so far.
Well, but, I know, you know,
the reasoning makes sense, yeah.
So then Randy Orton versus Bray Wyatt in this mysterious House of Horrors match, which is now, I don't know if it ever was officially, but it is not for the WWE Championship. So I think that at least adds a little bit of intrigue into who might win, because if it was for the title, I wouldn't give Bray any chance at winning the match because it just wouldn't, that just wouldn't make any sense. So I don't know what this match is. Nobody seems to know the specifics. I'm shooting.
I love the direct, honest approach.
I'm shooting.
I don't know what the hell's going to happen in this match.
I don't know what the match is. There's something I read where they said that the match may start. It's supposed to start in the House of Horrors, whatever the hell that is, and then then end up then in the arena in the ring. So yeah. I don't know.
Is it a boiler room brawl?
I don't know. I don't know what the deal is there. So I just assumed Orton would win because he's the champion and he beat Bray at WrestleMania and he's just going to keep the title and go. But now that the title is not involved and it's this mysterious House of Horrors match, I don't know what to make of it personally, because I feel like in this instance, non-title, and not that I know, I'm never an advocate of the champions losing, but since it's non-title and Bray is changing brands and he's coming over to Raw and he's going to need fresh feuds there. He's kind of starting something up with Finn Balor or whatever it is. He came out at the end of Raw, right? And they kind of put him over pretty strong this week. And none of that made any sense to me. But
yeah,
he beat up, was it Ambrose and Jericho, right, with Miz?
And then he beat up Miz.
So they kind of put him over pretty good at the end of the show. So I don't know. I would, I'm going to say Bray Wyatt wins since it's non-title. And I'll just go out on a limb and go with that. It's probably wrong, but whatever.
I understand nothing. So let me get this straight. If Bray Wyatt wins, you have Randy Orton, the champion of SmackDown, lose on a Raw show and then carry a loss on to SmackDown. Wrong. If Bray Wyatt loses, this will be how many losses in a row has Bray Wyatt suffered? Because this will be...
Well, the only... I know he won at Elimination Chamber and then the next SmackDown after. And that's the only... The last two times I remember him winning anything. So.
But he... Doesn't he have all these gimmick matches where he loses them? That's kind of his shtick?
There was that one match where a TV exploded or something in Dean Ambrose's face or like a cable wire. I remember that happened. Okay.
You can't have Bray Wyatt lose this match.
There was a silhouette of somebody and a child, right? And that didn't happen too?
He's got the whole world in his hands.
Something,
that,
yeah.
Something, yeah.
Just Dean Ambrose being Dean Ambrose, I guess.
You, listen, you can't have Bray Wyatt lose, and you can't have Randy Orton lose. You booked yourself into the proverbial corner. Maybe that's where this match is going to start, in the booked corner, because there's nothing that there. You need this match, believe it or not, I've never said this before, needs a non-finish. I need the entire ring to burn down or something and nobody loses this match, because you can't have Randy Orton carry the title into a brand after he lost on the other brand's pay-per-view. It makes him look like a little bit of a pansy. You can't have Bray Wyatt, who comes out, Randy Orton set his sister's grave on fire, for God's sake. You can't have him then book him into a House of Horrors match and have him lose it.
They should book him in prison. But they should do it
for that's arson. That's arson and defiling the grave of a loved one. Section 9, Article 3 of the Constitution.
What about this? What if they did this?
There we go.
What if...
I literally cannot wait for this. What do you got for me?
What if they... You know, so WrestleMania, they had all the,
the
projected images on the ring, right? With the maggots and the worms and all that type of stuff.
Cockroaches.
What if the boogeyman came back with worms in his mouth and helped Bray Wyatt somehow? And that's all I got. That's the end of my
answer. So the boogeyman,
just because of worms, there's a connection with the
hits
worms.
Hits the clock on the face.
Yeah. It's the Flava Flav.
It's wow. Who the hell besides me and you is going to get the Flava Flav rounds?
Go watch Rock and Jock Softball. Okay, anybody out there?
Oh, I love Rock and Jock Softball. Yeah. I'm going to watch Flava of Love for no reason. Yes. I don't know what to do. Is Crazy Steve going to come out? Is he going to cost Randy Orton? I have no idea what they're going to do in this match, which I guess is kind of cool, but I kind of hate it because Bray Wyatt is just – he's on every show. He's taking losses left and right. He's beating up faces. He's beating up heels. I'm going to say Bray Wyatt wins this match.
Okay. All right. And that leaves us
– oh, Christ.
With the returning – wow, that's all right. Roman Reigns versus Braun Strowman. So everyone knows the deal with this, Braun Strowman.
Wait, what's the deal? I didn't see it 13 times on Raw.
Yeah. So Braun Strowman attacked Roman Reigns. They had that crazy beatdown a couple weeks ago with the ambulance and all that stuff. And then Braun, of course, then logic would then dictate with the booking that he would lose a match to Kalisto the following week. He fought him in a dumpster match because he had tossed him in a dumpster before. Of course, he lost because the new rules of the dumpster match mean you have to just be in the dumpster. Doesn't have to close the
it's
lid.
It's like a casket match. You don't have to close the lid anymore?
Yeah. I mean, you got to close the lid on a dumpster. Does anybody at home have a garbage pail that has the lids open all the time? The garbage is not in the garbage pail until the lid's closed. That's all I'm saying.
That's true. When I throw out Chance and Hunter's poop, I have to close the lid.
Yeah.
Because if not, it smells like poop.
It does.
It does.
That's what I'm saying.
You know what smells like poop? This show. There you go.
Our podcast or Payback?
Oh, no. Payback. Okay, no. Right. This is the best podcast we've done in a while.
I just want to clear that up, everybody. So, yeah, no. So that's the deal. So Roman Reigns, and I guess, and they used it, and I'm only going to mention it because they used it in on Raw on Monday, but they mentioned that Roman Reigns' older brother, who used to be Rosie from 3 Minute Warning, passed away in like some, I don't know, whatever it was, extended tweet or limerick that he wrote. So a limerick gets a type of poem, I think.
Oh, yeah. I thought it was a donut.
Yeah, it could be. I don't know what they make at Dunkin' Donuts these days, so it could be. But anyway, so I don't know. I was always assuming that Strowman would win because he's supposedly being groomed as a challenger for Brock Lesnar. And especially since he lost on Monday in a dumpster match, I feel like he needs to win. But certainly the story of Roman Reigns coming back from injury and overcoming is possible. But I'm going to say that Strowman wins, that Reigns is too banged up to overcome Strowman. Reigns did beat him at Fastlane. They had a good match at that show, I think. I'm going to say Strowman will get the win here. Reigns too injured to overcome the Monster of Men or whatever the hell his name is.
Monster of Men? I thought that was Missy Hyatt.
Yeah. You're right. It's a gimmick infringement.
Yeah. I don't really know. This makes no sense. You're going to have Braun Strowman lose in a dumpster match and then going into the pay-per-view just to beat down Kalisto. He'd have to lose the dumpster match to beat down Kalisto. He could have done it anyway.
Yep.
You have Paul Heyman and Brock Lesnar cut a promo on Roman Reigns. Then Braun Strowman comes out. Then he bails against – nothing is making sense on Raw. And this is really, really convoluted. I think if they're putting the rocket on the hiney of Roman Reigns, they're going to push it to the moon.
There's 90 seconds left in our show, by the way.
Oh, look at that. Thank you, Emma Watson from London. I don't know how many seconds left in our own damn show. Yeah, I'm going to say they are really shoving this Roman Reigns down our throat, so Roman Reigns can get the win.
All right. And that is WWE Payback. So that, I believe, since we have less than 90 seconds.
They should pay us back for watching
this. Show? Yeah, they should. That's going to, yeah. Payback for me being a terrible human being for the last
year. Maybe consider it. 60 seconds left.
So that's it, man. So Keith Lee
was awesome. I can't say enough. We appreciate him taking the time. Listen, follow us on Instagram, at Twitter, at All Night Long WP, facebook.com/AllNightLongWP, blogtalkradio.com/AllNightLongWP. Whew, so many things. That's it, man. That's all we got. We're going to go watch the Rangers dominate the playoffs tonight, and we're going to watch NFL Draft.
Let's do it.
So he's the Stallion. I'm the Enforcer. For us, Damage 365 Radio and the All Night Long Wrestling Podcast, we are tapping out.